Our suffering, you know, our great suffering that we have been going through, the effects of that. So I've got some material that I want to read to you all that's going to help enlighten us on that. So, but before we get into that, like I said, I use this platform. This is a platform for me to relieve myself, you know. So, you know, if it goes to a big audience to do, if it goes to just one or two or a few, that's cool too. Like I said, I'm speaking what I've learned, what works for me. I'm speaking from my own thoughts and opinions, my philosophy, thoughts and opinions. Yeah, that's what you could write this memoir about. That's what this is. So I do come with documentation with stuff that I'm directing you to, and I can direct you to stuff so you can go research and study for yourself. Man knoweth not by being told. And if he must know, he himself must be what he knows. Prophet Noah Dwali. So you can't bring a message without being through it and know it. Yeah, Yahushua, y'all call him Jesus. You think that he didn't go through it? Yeah, he had to go through it. You thinking them ladies wasn't throwing that poo nanny at him? Okay then. You know, he had that real tongue. He was spitting them isms to the people, to power. You think them ladies wasn't throwing themselves at him? Okay, but he had a choice. Something he understood, and he had a choice. And he overcome. So that's why he knows that you can overcome, because he's been an example for you. He came through a woman and a man just like you to show you I could do the same thing you did. Ain't no hocus pocus about this. See, we've been getting stories told to us instead of using our common sense. Just like you don't have to go get a DNA test to figure out who you are if you just go back into yourself. So there's a lot of things that we need to break, because, like I said, we've been taught and trained. You know, autopilot. Yeah, we on go for somebody else. You know, somebody else got us TikToking. Yeah, they got us TikToking and roboting, and that's what we're doing, and we don't see it. Okay, so today we're going to get into the Willie Lynch letter, the making of a slave. We definitely need to get into that, because a lot of people have never read it. They have never understood it, and people like to say, well, we don't know where it came from or whatever. The bottom line of it, when you read it and you be real within yourself, you will understand that the psychological damage that has been done to you. Okay, and it's a must read for you, your children, everybody, so you can understand it, so you can break that. Once you read it and you admit in yourself, the first step is admitting. When you admit it, you can go forward and you can break the chain. Okay, so then we're going to read the Christian Black Codes of 1724. Oh, did he say the Christian Black Codes? Oh, I need to tune off now. He gets to start crucifying Christians. No, ma'am. No, sir. That's not here to do, man. We don't do that. Not to crucify anybody. To you, your way. To me, my way. I'm just to present evidence to you. See, we hold on to Yahushua. We just don't hold on to Christianity. We hold on to Prophet Muhammad. We just don't hold on to Islam as they teach it. You understand? We understand what the teachings, the true teachings are. The true teachings are the self teachings. I self am law master. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I self law and master. That's how that goes. So you got to master yourself because you're the law. Yeah. You, all the concordances are inside of you. You are the law. You are the star, the Venus star. Yeah, the Mercury. Yeah, you are that. So that's what this is about. So we're going to read through that and see how the occupation is still going on. See, we don't believe that we're under military occupation. Oh, did he just say that? We're under military occupation? Yeah, it's obvious. If you understand constitutional law, you understand that we're under military occupation in the hood. Yeah, when you go below the tracks, you're under military occupation. When you go above the tracks, you see the citizens up there. You don't see the laws up there. And then, who is the law? So you got these police forces around that are hired. So if you're hired, you're a hired mercenary, because that's what you're doing. You popping us down in the street. You catch and release. See, it's no different from the plantation times, folks. Catch and release. That's it. Get on the horse, chase you down. You run off, chase you down. You feel me? Let you think you're free, but you got all these rules and stuff. You can't bip, bop, or fart without them taxing you and being on your head, ready to run you down and put you through the ringer. While the whole time they're using your image and likeness to live comfortably on top of your soil. Martin Luther King had a dream. Man, Martin Luther King gave it to us. I have so much profound respect and admiration for Martin Luther King now. I used to didn't understand him, didn't study him. You see how people do? You just pass judgment on people. You see the images that other people place before you, and you just cast a judgment. You don't even go investigate and see. So that's how I did. Oh, the man letting people water hose them, throw bricks on them. Oh, man, he ain't no soldier. He ain't got the spirit like that. I had to study Martin Luther King, and I bear witness I had to ask for forgiveness for casting that judgment on somebody else. Woo! Because that brother was before his time. That's why they took him out of the game. You understand me? When they take you out, pop you out of the game, something that you're speaking is truth. Believe that. So why would they take you out then? If you're just some old gibbering, jabbering ignoramus, why would they just, yeah, they would, yeah. Okay, so we have to start understanding, opening our eyes. What's good for us, they always take it away. See? Because they want to feed you. They want to clothe you. You feel me? They want to tell you what time to go to sleep, what time to wake up, how to do this, how to do that. But you're the civilizers. You're the mothers and fathers of the civilization. So how can somebody else, how can a baby train you, person that you created? Come on now. So that's what we got to look at and go through. So the first one we're going to start off with here today is the Willie Lynch letter, The Making of a Slave. And let me grab my spectacles and my Dr. Doolittle's so I can dig into this writing right here. And I just went online and pulled this up. You can order the book. They got the book. It's a little pamphlet. It's real precise, concise, whichever words you want to use. It's to pinpoint and accurate. It's to the point, and it's us to the T. Yes, it is. So you just have to admit some things. You have to get out your own way sometimes. That's what we do, you know. You have to get out of the way sometimes. I spent 14 years straight in a can, and I learned and studied. I turned it into a collegiate Yeah, I turned it into college. It was a saying somebody told me, and I ran with it. They said a penitentiary could be a playground for a fool or a college for a wise man, and I turned it into a college for myself so I could come out here and save myself and my family. And the cool thing about it, my family's so caught up in, and not just my immediate family, the extended family. The family, let me say it that way, the family is just so been so bamboozled and hoodwinked that they don't want the help from self and time. But I understand, because I was just the same way too. So I got to have more patience, more tolerance, more love, more understanding, you know. But at the same time, I can't stop for you. I got to keep pushing and being the example, setting down the foundation, trailblazing. You feel me? And if you don't catch up, or when you do catch up, you say, oh, okay, maybe you don't, but hopefully you catch up. But that's what this is about. So a lot of time we get stagnant because other people are people not helping us. No, you got to keep pushing, because there's always people out there. There's always good Samaritans out there. It's even ones that, and a lot of times they're not even going to look like you. That's when you understand. It's not anything about what a person looks like. It's about what's inside of a person. Huh? Hello. You on Blog Talk Radio, The Morning Drip with Suleiman Bey. I hope my fizz notes, all y'all fizzapped in out there, man, and I'm checking in on us, man. We're just trying to relay a little game to you all, man, to get us all on the same path, because we are one. When you hurt, I hurt. We're going through the same things in the communities. You know, we got to pool our resources and come together. It's people in there not in there for our good. They're selling us inferior food and all kinds of stuff going on. They're not giving back to us. I mean, man, we got to invest in ourselves. We them boys. We them people. You feel our image and likeness is being sold to the world and being profited off of. And they're giving us $200 million to dribble, shut up, and dribble. Man, we could be doing that for ourselves. You see what I'm saying? So you could throw that into a family. That's what I've been trying to get my family on. It got to be 200 or 300 of us. Man, it got to be 50 of us able to put $50 in a pot every month for $2,500. Yeah, and 4 months got $10,000, $30,000 for the year to use as investments and make stuff happen for ourselves. An economy that's a lot, most of it is people that's down, and it's sectors that are up that you can invest into and make real good turnovers right now, quick, fast, in a hurry. See, people like it fast, like a Pop-Tart. Yeah, you could have it quick, fast, in a hurry right now. You could get in, get to make some moves, invest here, make some moves. Man, crypto stocks, just different stuff, knowing what's going on. But, hey, everybody want to just struggle. You don't got to be in the same state as a person to have a trust fund and a board of directors and to allocate funds for stuff to happen and everybody to make moves and acquisitions and for everybody to receive royalties and checks. Okay. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? Just off a couple of tools and fuels. But see, we don't want to do that. But hey, the universe will provide for those who know how to go out there and get it and who don't just sit around. So if you knew better, you'd do better. So that's the problem right now. People don't know better. So you better go work for somebody else instead of working for yourself. You could shut down working for somebody just that quick. If you and your family networked and pooled your resources together, you could shut down working just like that, and you could set industry up for yourself. I bear witness to that. Okay, so here we go. Willie Lynch letter, The Making of a Slave. Y'all all right out there? Okay. Delivered by Willie Lynch on the bank of the James River in the colony of Virginia in 1712. Lynch, another thing, folks, before I continue, these states, what they call states, are nothing but corporations, okay? The United States is a corporation, so if you're a U.S. citizen, then you're a corporate citizen, okay? That's it, and that's all. These Africa, what they call Africa, that's a corporation. That's all this is. Virginia, that's a corporation, okay? So you need to understand what's happening on top of the soil, and then you need to understand what's going on below the soil and who's the heir apparent to that. Okay, just Willie Lynch letter, Making of a Slave. This speech was delivered by Willie Lynch on the bank of the James River in the colony of Virginia in 1712. Lynch was a British slave owner in the West Indies. He was invited to the colony of Virginia in 1712 to teach his message to slave owners there. The term lynching is derived from his last name. Greetings. Gentlemen, I greet you here on the banks of the James River in the year of our Lord, 1712. First, I shall thank you, the gentlemen of the colony of Virginia, for bringing me here. I am here to help you solve some of your problems with slaves. Your invitation reached me on my modest plantation in the West Indies, where I have experimented with some of the newest and still the oldest methods for control of slaves. Ancient Rome would envy us if my program is implemented. As our boats sit on the James River, named for our illustrious king, whose version of the Bible we cherish, I saw enough to know that your problem is not unique. While Rome used cords of wood as crosses for standing human bodies along its highways in great numbers, you are here using the tree and the rope on occasions. I caught the whiff of a dead slave hanging from a tree a couple miles back. You are not only losing valuable stock by hangings, you are having uprisings. Slaves are running away. Your crops are sometimes left in the field too long for maximum profit. You suffer occasional fires. Your animals are killed. Gentlemen, you know what your problems are. I do not need to elaborate. I am not here to enumerate your problems. I am here to introduce you to a method of solving them. In my bag here, I have a foolproof method for controlling your black slaves. I guarantee every one of you that if installed correctly, it would control the slave for at least 300 years. My method is simple. Any member of your family or your overseer can use it. I have outlined a number of differences among the slaves, and I take these differences and make them bigger. I use fear, distrust, and envy for control purposes. These methods have worked on my modest plantation in the West Indies, and it will work throughout the South. Take this simple little list of differences and think about them. On top of my list is age, but it's there only because it starts with an A. The second is color or shade. There is intelligence, size, sex, sizes of plantations, status on plantations, attitude of owners, whether the slaves live in the valley, on a hill, east, west, north, south, have fine hair, coarse hair, or is tall or short. Now that you have a list of differences, I shall give you an outline of action, but before that, I shall assure you that distrust is stronger than trust and envy stronger than adulation, respect, or admiration. The black slaves, after receiving this indoctrination, shall carry on and will become self-refueling and self-generating for hundreds of years, maybe thousands. Don't forget, you must pitch the old black male versus the young black male and the young black male against the old black male. You must use the dark-skinned slaves versus the light-skinned slaves and the light-skinned slaves versus the dark-skinned slaves. You must use the female versus the male and the male versus the female. You must also have white servants and overseers who distrust all blacks. But it is necessary that your slaves trust and depend on us. They must love, respect, and trust only us. Gentlemen, these kits are your keys to control. Use them. Have your wives and children use them. never miss an opportunity. If used intensely for 1 year, the slaves themselves will remain perpetually distrustful. Thank you, gentlemen. Now, here it goes into it. That's the setting. That's the setting the stage. Now he's going to pull out the bag of tricks and give it to us, all right? Now, bear witness. Be honest with yourself, huh? Let's make a slave. It was the interest and business of slaveholders to study human nature, and the slave nature in particular, with a view to practical results. I and many of them attained astonishing proficiency in this direction. They had to deal not with earth, wood, and stone, but with men, and by every regard they had for their own safety and prosperity, they needed to know the material on which they were to work. Conscious of the injustice and wrong they were every hour perpetuating, and knowing what they themselves would do. Were they the victims of such wrongs? Were they the victims of such wrongs? They were constantly looking for the first signs of the dreaded retribution. They watched, therefore, with skilled and practiced eyes, and learned to read with great accuracy the state of mind and heart of the slave through his sable face. Unusual sobriety, apparent abstractions, sullenness, and indifferent indeed, any mood out of the common was afforded ground for suspicion and inquiry. Frederick Douglass' Let's Make a Slave is a study of the scientific process of man-breaking and slave-making. It describes the rationale and results of the Anglo-Saxons' ideas and methods of ensuring the master-slave relationship. Let's Make a Slave, the original and development of a social being called the Negro. Let us make a slave. What do we need? First of all, we need a black nigger man, a pregnant nigger woman, and her baby nigger boy. Second, we will use the same basic principles that we use in breaking a horse, combined with some more sustaining factors. Again, disclaimer, I am reading from off the internet. If you pull up the Willingness Letter, this is what it says. So excuse my French. Yeah. Okay. Second, we will use the same basic principles that we use in breaking a horse, combined with some more sustaining factors. What we do with horses is that we break them from one form of life to another. That is, we reduce them from their natural state in nature. Whereas nature provides them with the natural capacity to take care of their offspring, we break that natural string of independence from them and thereby create a dependency status so that we may be able to get from them useful production for our business and pleasure. Listen, cardinal principles for making a Negro. For fear that our future generations may not understand the principles of breaking both of the beasts together, the nigger and the horse, we understand that short-range planning economics results in periodic economic chaos. Again, I'm going to read that again. We understand that short-range planning economics results in periodic economic chaos, so that to avoid turmoil in the economy, it requires us to have breadth and depth in long-range comprehensive planning, articulating both skill-sharp perceptions. See, I like to read, and I like the etymology and the study word. That was deep right there. Let me spill that back to you again. We understand that short-range planning economics results in periodic economic chaos, so that to avoid turmoil in the economy, it requires us to have breadth and depth in long-range comprehensive planning, articulating both skill-sharp perceptions. I could dig that. We lay down the following principles for long-range comprehensive economic planning. Both horse and niggers are no good to the economy in the wild or natural state. Both must be broken and tied together for orderly production. For orderly future, special and particular attention must be paid to the female. That's why they got her taken off her clothes. And the youngest offspring. Both must be crossbred to produce a variety, and division of labor. Both must be taught to respond to a peculiar new language. Psychological and physical instruction of containment must be created for both. We hold the six cardinal principles as truth to be self-evident, based upon following the discourse concerning the economics of breaking and tying the horse and the nigger together, all inclusive of the six principles laid down above. Okay, note, neither principle alone will suffice for good economics. All principles must be employed for orderly good of the nation. Accordingly, both a wild horse and a wild or natural nigger is dangerous even if captured, for they will have the tendency to seek their customary freedom, and in doing so might kill you in your sleep. You cannot rest. They sleep while you are awake and are awake while you are asleep. They are dangerous near the family house, and it requires too much labor to wash them away from the house. Above all, you cannot get them to work in this natural state, and the nigger must be broken. That is, breaking them from one form of mental life to another. Keep the body, take the mind. In other words, break the will to resist. Now the breaking process is the same for both the horse and the nigger, only slightly varying the degrees. But as we said before, there is an art in long-range economic planning. You must keep your eye and thoughts on the female and the offspring of the horse and the nigger. A brief discourse in offspring development will shed light on the key to sound economic principles. Pay little attention to the generation of original breaking, but concentrate on future generation. Therefore, if you break the female mother, she will break the offspring in its early years of development because she's the first teacher from in the womb. Therefore, if you break the female mother, okay, she will break the offspring from the youth to the early years of development. And when the offspring is old enough to work, she will deliver it up to you, for her normal female protective tendencies will have been lost in the original breaking process. For example, take the case of the wild stud horse, a female horse, and an already infant horse, and compare the breaking process with two captured nigger males in their natural state, a pregnant nigger woman with her infant offspring. Take the stud horse, break him for limited containment. Completely break the female horse until she becomes very gentle, whereas you or anybody can ride her in her comfort. Breed the mare and stud until you have the desired offspring. Then you can turn the stud to freedom until you need him again. Train the female horse whereby she will eat out of your hand, and she will in turn train the infant horse to eat out of your hand also. When it comes to breaking the uncivilized nigger, use the same process, but vary the degree and step up the pressure so as to do a complete reversal of the mind. Take the meanest and most restless nigger, strip him of his clothes in front of the remaining male niggers, the female, and the nigger infant, tar and feather him, tie each leg to a different horse faced in opposite directions, set him afire, and beat both horses to pull him apart in front of the remaining niggers. The next step is to take a bull whip and beat the remaining nigger males to the point of death in front of the female and the infant. Don't kill him, but put the fear of God in him, for he can be useful for future breeding. You see that? Okay. Yeah. So she go teach him. Okay. We ain't done. The breaking process of the African woman. Take the female and run a series of tests on her to see if she will submit to your desires willingly. Test her in every way, because she is the most important factor for good economics. If she shows any signs of resistance in submitting completely to your will, do not hesitate to use the bullwhip on her to extract the last bit of bitch out of her. Take care not to kill her, for in doing so, you spoil good economics. When in complete submission, she will train her offspring in the early years to submit to labor when they become of age. Understanding is the best thing. Therefore, we shall go deeper into this area of the subject matter concerning what we have produced here in this breaking process of the female nigger. We have reversed the relationship. In her natural uncivilized state, she would have a strong dependency on the uncivilized nigger male, and she would have a limited protective tendency toward her independent male offspring and would raise male offspring to be dependent like her. Nature had provided for this type of balance. We reverse nature by burning and pulling a civilized nigger apart and bullwhipping the other to the point of death, all in her presence. By her being left alone, unprotected, with the male image destroyed, the ordeal caused her to move from her psychologically dependent state to a frozen independent state. In this frozen psychological state of independence, she will raise her male and female offspring in reverse roles. For fear of the young male's life, she will psychologically train him to be mentally weak and dependent, but physically strong. because she has become psychologically independent, she will train her female offspring to be psychologically independent. What have you got? You've got the nigger woman out front and the nigger man behind this scare. This is a perfect situation of sound, sleep, and economics. Before the breaking process, we had to be alert, on guard at all times. Now we can sleep soundly, for out of frozen fear, his woman stands guard for us. He cannot get past her early slave mode and process. He is a good tool, now ready to be tied to the horse at a tender age. By the time a nigger boy reaches the age of 16, he is soundly broken in and ready for a long life of sound and efficient work and the reproduction of a unit of good labor force. Continually through the breaking of uncivilized savage niggers, by throwing the nigger female savage into a frozen psychological state of independence, by killing the protective male image, and by creating a submissive, dependent mind of the nigger male slave, we have created an orbiting cycle that turns on its own axis forever, unless a phenomenon occurs and reshifts the position of the male and female slaves. We show what we mean by example. Take the case of the two economic slave eunuchs and examine them close. Now, we're just going to some more. I got to take a breath for a second. Listen. This is deep. We got one more page, and we're almost there. It's just the writing is so small. This is deep, and I want to try to get understanding. We'll wrap it up and go over this. Okay. The Negro marriage. They go examine the two units now. The Negro marriage. We breed two nigger males with two nigger females. Then we take the nigger male away from them and keep them moving and working. Say one nigger female bears a nigger female and the other bears a nigger male. Both nigger females, being without the influence of the nigger male image, frozen with an independent psychology, would raise their offspring into reverse positions. The one with the female offspring would teach her to be like herself, independent and negotiable. We negotiate with her, through her, by her, negotiate at her will. The one with the nigger male offspring, she being frozen subconscious fear for his life, would raise him to be mentally dependent and weak, but physically strong. In other words, body over mind. Now, in a few years, when these two offspring become fertile for early reproduction, we will mate and breed them and continue the cycle. That is good, sound, and long-range comprehensive planning. See? Just like animals, breeding you into this black mold. Yeah, breeding us into this sleek, dark mold that we're in. Warning, possible interloping negative. Got to be vigilant. Be y'all all right out there? You on Blog Talk Radio, the morning drip of Suleiman Bey. Oh, you got to always stay vigilant at your house. Stay vigilant on point when you're driving everywhere. There's a lot going on out there when you're trying to be upright, fearless and independent, man. You know, people be trying to get in your way. You got to see it for what it is, and you got to know how to move, all right? Okay, warning, possible interloping negatives. Early. Okay. Warning, possible interloping negatives. Earlier, we talked about the non-economic good of the horse and the nigger in their wild or natural state. We talked about the principle of breaking and tying them together for orderly production. Furthermore, we talked about paying particular attention to the female savage and her offspring for orderly future planning. Then, more recently, we stated that by reversing the positions of the male and female savages, we created an orbiting cycle that turns on its own axis forever and lets a phenomenon occur and reshifts position of the male and female savages. Our experts warned us about the possibility of this phenomenon occurring, for they say that the mind has a strong drive to correct and recorrect itself over a period of time if it can touch some substantial original historical base. And they advised us that the best way to deal with the phenomenon is to shave off the brute's mental history and create a multiplicity of phenomenon of illusions so that each illusion will twirl on its own orbit, something similar to floating balls in a vacuum. This creation of multiplicity of phenomenon of illusion entails the principles of crossbreeding the nigger and the horse, as we stated above, the purpose of which is to create a diversified division of labor, thereby creating different levels of labor and different values of illusion at each connecting level of labor. The results of which is the severance of the points of original beginnings for each sphere illusion. Since we feel that the subject matter may get more complicated as we proceed in laying down our economic plan concerning the purpose, reason and effect of crossbreeding horses and niggers, we shall lay down the following definition terms for future generations. Orbiting cycle means a thing turning in a given path. This means upon which or around which a body turns. Phenomena means something beyond ordinary conception and inspires awe and wonder. Multiplicity means a great number, means a globe. Crossbreeding a horse means taking a horse and breeding it with an ass, and you get a dumb, backward-ass, long-headed mule that is not reproductive nor productive by itself. Crossbreeding niggers means taking so many drops of good white blood and putting them into as many nigger women as possible, varying the drops by the various tone that you want, and then letting them breed with each other until another circle of color appears as you desire. What this means is this. Put the niggers and the horse in a breeding pot, mix some asses and some good white blood, and what do you get? You got a multiplicity of colors of ass backward, unusual niggers running tied to backward ass, long-headed mules, the one productive of itself, the other sterile. The one constant, the other dying. We keep the nigger constant, for we may replace the mules for another tool. Both mule and nigger tied to each other, neither knowing where the other came from, and neither productive for itself, nor without each other. As we conclude, control the language. Crossbreeding completed. For further severance from their original beginning, we must completely annihilate the mother tongue of both the new nigger and the new mule and institute a new language that involves the new life's work of both. You know, language is a peculiar institution. It leads to the heart of a people. The more a foreigner knows about the language of another country, the more he is able to move through all levels of that society. Therefore, if a foreigner is an enemy of the country to the extent that he knows the body of the language, to that extent is the country vulnerable to attack or invasion of a foreign culture. That's what happened to us, y'all. For example, if you take a slave, if you teach him all about your language, he will know all your secrets, and he is being no more a slave, well, you can't fool him any longer. And being a fool is one of the basic ingredients of any incident to the maintenance of the slavery system. For example, if you told a slave that he must perform in getting out our crops and he knows the language well, he would know that our crops didn't mean our crops, and the slavery system would break down, for he would relate on the basis of what our crops really meant. So you had to be careful in setting up the new language. But the slaves would soon be in your house talking to you as man to man, and that is death to our economic system. In addition, the definition of words or terms are only a minute part of the process. Values are created and transported by communication through the body of the language. A total society has many interconnected value systems. All the values in society have bridges of language to connect them for orderly working into society. But for these language bridges, these many value systems would sharply clash and cause internal strife or civil war, the degree of the conflict being determined by the magnitude of the issues or relative opposing strength in whatever form. For example, if you put a slave in a hog pen and train him to live there and incorporated him to value it as a way of life completely, the biggest problem you will have out of him is that he would worry you about provisions to keep the hog pen clean, or the same hog pen and make a slip and incorporate something in his language whereby he comes to value a house more than he does his hog pen, you got a problem. He will soon be in your house. Additional note, Henty Berry, speaking in the Virginia House of Delegates in 1832, described the situation as it existed in many parts of the South at this time. We have, as far as possible, closed every avenue by which light may enter there the slave's mind. If we could distinguish the capacity to see the light, our work would be complete. They would then be on a level with the beast of the field, and we should be safe. I am not certain that we would not do it if we could find out the process, and that on the plea of necessity. From Brown America, The Story of a New Race by Edwin R. Embry, 1931, The Viking Press. And this was in the Virginia House of Delegates in 1832. Okay. Yeah, so I had to connect it back in this way. I don't know how much the clip cut out or whatever, but I had to connect back in from my phone and log it in because the computer, when I talk on the computer and straight to the computer, it don't come through good at all. I haven't figured that part out at all. I have bought some tools and microphones and headphones and everything. It just worked better on my phone, so I know that that part come in. But you need it. Try to block you out. I try to go into some other social stuff today. And that's just how it would be in the world, but who cares, you know? Hey, you got to keep pushing, man. When people put a roadblock, that's just a test for you to move forward. That's what I did. I came home, started doing business formation. They start putting roadblocks in my file in there. You know, they go put up your personal stuff in your business file. Who cares? I still just kept booming. And now I got four companies with good credentials with the Business Credit Bureau. So I don't let that stuff get in my way. And then you just got to learn how to put other faces in there. Sometimes you might see a black business, so-called black business, or a so-called white business. That don't mean that they're the owner. They can tell you anything. It might be the black business might got a European owner. The European business might got an African owner. You don't know who owns them places, you know, but people understand where they're located, who their customers going to be, so they put the right people in there so they can win. You don't want the opposition to beat you before you get started. So just a little words of advice. Okay, so now, the Christian Black Codes of 1724. Okay, listen. The Christian Black Codes of 1724 were initiated during Reconstruction after the Civil War to control blacks after they were emancipated. Passed by Southern states, instead of giving blacks the same rights as white people, the codes limited the blacks' freedom severely. They included that blacks had to be in service of a white person, that they could not have congregations together, not have congregations together, that they could not speak out, and that they could not have weapons. They also included that blacks could not go out without a white supervisor. Thus, blacks had to take on the religions and holidays and the gods of their white superiors. These black gods were said to have been made the Northern boy with the ratification of the 13th Amendment in 1865, although many Southern states adopted black codes to keep former slaves from voting and impose other restrictions. The 14th to 15th Amendments were to supposedly had eliminated these codes, but as you read them down below and study the law of the land in conjunction with religion and politics, you discover these codes have been modernized and in disguise, and many are still in effect. Show it is, all that stuff. I want you congregating down the Christian Black Codes of 1724. Let's go. Article 1. Article 1. Decrees the expulsion of the Jews from the colony. Article 2, making imperative on masters to impart religious instruction to their slaves. Article 3, permits the exercise of the Roman Catholic's creed only. Every other mode of worship is prohibited. Article 4, Negroes placed under the direction or supervision of any other person than a Catholic are liable to confiscation. Article 5, Sundays and holidays are to be strictly observed. All Negroes found at work on these days are to be confiscated. Article 6. We forbid our white subjects of both sexes to marry with the black, under penalty of being fined and subjected to some other arbitrary punishment. We forbid all curates, priests, or missionaries of our secular or regular clergy, or even our chaplains in our Navy, to sanction such marriages. We also forbid all of our white subjects and even the manumitted or freeborn blacks to live in a state of concubinage with slaves. Should there be any issue from this kind of intercourse, it is our will that the person so offending and the master of the slave should pay each a fine of 300 livres. Should said issue be the result of concubinage of the master by his slave, said master shall not only pay the fine, but be deprived of the slave and of the children, who shall be adjudged to the hospital of the locality, and said slave shall be forever incapable of being set free. But shall this illicit intercourse have existed between a free black and his slave, when said slave, according to the form described by the church, said slave shall become free and legitimate, and in such cases there shall be no application of the penalties mentioned in the present article. Article 7, the ceremonies and forms prescribed by the ordinance of Blois and by the edicts of 1691 for marriage shall be observed both with regard to free persons and slaves, but the consent of the fathers and mothers of the slave is not necessary. That of the master should be the only one required. Article 8. We forbid our curates to process to effect marriages between slaves without the proof of the consent of their master. And we also forbid our masters to force their slaves into marriages against their wills. You got to go downtown to the county and get your marriage license, huh? You got to get a license to get married, huh? Oh, okay. Hmm. Children, Article 9, children issued from the marriage of slaves shall follow the condition of their parents and shall belong to the master of the wife and not of the husband, if the husband and the wife have different masters. Article 10, if the husband be a slave and the wife a free woman, it is our will that their children of whatever sex they be shall share the condition of their mother and be as free as she, notwithstanding the servitude of their father. And if the father be free and the mother a slave, then the children shall be slaves. Article 11, masters shall have their Christian slaves buried in consecrated ground. Article 12, we forbid slaves to carry offensive weapons or heavy sticks under the penalty of being whipped and of having said weapons confiscated for the benefit of the person seizing the same. An exception is made in favor of those slaves who are hunting or are shooting for their masters and who carry with them a written permission to that effect or bring designated by some known mark or badge. Got to get your gun license, huh? Just to have a gun, huh? Okay, you see, the list goes on. Let's see going on. Article 12. Okay, that we got there. Article 13. We forbid slaves belonging to different masters to carry in crowds, to gather in crowds. Excuse me. We forbid slaves belonging to different masters to gather in crowds, either by day or by night, under the pretext of a wedding, and for any other cause, either at the dwelling or on the grounds of one of their masters or elsewhere, and less on the highways or in secluded places under the penalty of corporal punishment, which shall not be less than the whip. In case of frequent offenses of the kind, the offender shall be branded with the mark of the fleur de lis, and shall there be aggravating circumstances, capital punishment may be applied at the discretion of the judges. We command all of our subjects, be they officials or not, to seize offenders, to arrest and conduct them to prison, although there should be no judgment against them. This is just gathering the crowds, standing on the corner, gathering the crowds, leveling. Yeah, just loitering. They'll take you to prison. Or there should be no judgment against them. If that's whoop you with the flower, or it could be capital punishment for aggravating the circumstances. Article 14. Masters who shall be convicted of having permitted or tolerated such gatherings as aforesaid, composed of other slaves than their own, shall be sentenced individually to indemnify their neighbors for the damages occasioned by said gatherings and to pay for the first time a fine of 30 livres and double that sum on the repetitions of the offense. Article 15, we forbid Negroes to sell any commodities, provisions, or produce of any kind without the written permission of their masters or without wearing their own marks or badges. And any persons purchasing anything from Negroes in violation of this article shall be sentenced to pay a fine of 1,500 livres. You can't even produce for yourself. And they don't tell on you. If you do, people will get fined. They don't mess with you. You can't even produce and make a living for yourself. Articles 16, 17, and 18 and 19 provide a lynch for the clothing of slaves and for their subsistence. How they do in the prison system, they give you a certain amount of clothes for the year. They allot you a certain amount of clothes, boots, and all your little slave gear. They give it to you all at once when you come in, and you can't get that. You can't come back for a certain amount of time. That'll wear holes in it. Article 20, slaves who shall not be properly fed, clad, and provided for by their masters may give information thereof to the Attorney General of the Superior Council or to all the officers of an inferior jurisdiction, and may put the right in exposition of their loans into the hands upon which information and even ex officio shall the information come from another quarter, the Attorney General shall prosecute said masters without charging any cost to the complainant. It is our will that this regulation be observed and all the accusations of crimes are barbarous and inhumane treatment brought by slaves against their masters. Article 21. Slaves who are disabled from working, either by old age, disease, or otherwise, be the diseases incurable or nor, shall be fed and provided for by their masters. In the case they should have been abandoned by said masters, said slave should be addressed to the nearest hospital, to which said master shall be obliged to pay 8 cents a day for the food and maintenance of each of these slaves. And then for the payment of this sum, said hospital shall have a lien on the plantation master. Article 22, we declare that slaves have no right to any kind of property, but all that they acquire, either by their own industry or by the ability of others or by any other means or title, whatever shall be the full property of their masters. and the children of said slaves, their fathers, mothers, their kindred, or other relation, either free or slave, shall have no pretensions or claim thereto, either through testamentary, nor positions or donations inter vivis, which dispositions and donations we declare null and void, and also whatever promise they may have entered into by persons incapable of disposing of anything or participating into any contract. So they say you're incapable, can't have no property to none, your kinfolk can't claim it as heirs or nothing, it's theirs. Article 23, masters shall be responsible for what their slaves had done by their command and also for what transaction they had permitted their slaves to do in their shops in the particular line of commerce with whom they were entrusted. And in case their slaves should have acted without order or authorization of their masters, then the master shall be responsible only for so much as has turned to their profit. And if said masters have not profited by the dining or transaction of their slaves, the procurium which the master had permitted the slave to own shall be subjected to all claims against said slaves, after deduction made by the masters of what may be due to them. And if said procurium should consist in whole or in part of merchandises in which the slaves have permission to traffic, the master should only come in for their share in common with the other creditors. Okay, we go read again mañana on Article 25. I'm pooped on reading. We got about 8 minutes left, and I just wanted to say something. Not to take these goofy glasses off. These penitentiary glasses—they thick as Steve Urkel. Yeah, but they do the job, and I had to buy no more. So I'm being industrious by saving on that. In a nutshell, this is significant. You can Google the Willie Lynch letter. You can buy the book. You can go get it on Black Coal Law. Listen, if you don't believe me, believe in the works. And if you don't believe in the works that I've sent you, go find it for yourself. Study it. Get you a subscription with the Library of Congress where you can get stuff sent and documents out of there. When you go get official documents out of the Library of Congress, but then you won't say, hey, and you can get it from their mouth and you can see, you know, it's information out there, y'all. You know, it's information out there that will help you, will set you free, will help you see the way and will get you further in life. So I would recommend that brothers and sisters pick that up and start doing that. I do want to give, let me see here, I do want to read a hadith, an oral statement from the Prophet Noble Dhu Ali, because a lot of y'all haven't, you know, heard of him or moved out on his, studied him, okay? He said, more about America and the Europeans. Before the Europeans came here, the bananas were large and the grapes were 4 in hand. It took 2 men with hand sticks to carry 1 bunch of grapes. The Moors were living up and down the Mississippi River before the European man came here. That's what he said to Northwest of Mexico. It says the Europeans went to the Moroccan government and asked for permission to come over here to Northwest of Mexico to develop his land. They were given a 50-year mandate to do so. Then the Europeans went to an old sheik and asked him to give them some people to help them to develop his land. The sheik told them to take those Moors because they are not going to do anything. So, yeah, do that. Recollect me now just so I can have it in and see it on the board. Yeah. So, like again said, they disconnect you now. You know, they try to kind of keep the flow from going. But we at the end of the show anyway, and we concluded it. And I'm going to go back and check and see how it was. And, I didn't get no text from nobody saying that they didn't hear it or whatever. So it's all good. You know, the enemy going to stay working, and we're going to stay pursuing and doing what we do, too. You know, you got to have opposition, and that's the thing. You got to push forward. Listen, it's time to come together, man, for the family, for you know, bring yourself up and your family, man. Come together, you know, with your credit issues, help up your relatives, you know, establish their credit, put them on your cards. They can't get your car. Your car come to you. You put an authorized user on there. You will help them out substantially. They give them different low interest rates. Let them get them some credit cards. You know, and teach them how to utilize them. y'all older heads. You know, quit holding on to that stuff. You got to put that stuff and help people out with that stuff. Use what you got to be a blessing. And what you going to do, you got a $50,000 credit card with unlimited. You can put unlimited authorized users on there. For one, you could get money off putting authorized users on there. Tell your little kinfolk you see him working and stuff, but can't get no card. Man, send me $100, man. I put you on my card, man, and get help your credit out. And, yeah, you feel me? Yeah, all right. You send me $150, put you on card. But you could charge $300, $400. You got one that's got long history, shoot, they be charging $500,000. So, yeah, depending. So you can charge it for a couple of dollars, you know, help them out. Help them out, you know, him, her, whoever. That's what this is about. We reaching down and picking each other up to be improving our resources. Setting up a trust fund. That's what y'all need to do, set up a trust fund. Why you want one just to be living and having it? I just look at my blueprint, y'all. Our story, I just look. I did 14 years and then come home from a federal prison and do 14 years, and then 2 years later, I just look at the accomplishment. And that's what is just what does it for me. I just look at the concept. He said, okay, you own two homes, okay, check. Okay, you got two businesses, okay, check. Okay, got a nonprofit, okay, that's bam. Own a restaurant, man. Okay, man, got a 20 foot Penske truck, big old Penske truck for my nonprofit. Okay, I mean, man, so. I mean, if you've been out here for six, that'd be 16 years now, because I've been going 14 in 2 years. If you've been out here for 16 years and you still paying rent and mortgage, I'm not knocking nobody, but you haven't got, I got a crypto portfolio. I got a stock portfolio. I'm an initial investor on my own inside of a crypto coin with my brothers and relatives and other people. I got some coins and that. So it's a lot of stuff like, you know, you got to be able to put stuff together slowly but surely. Slowly but surely, put you a little bit together. Remember, it's Monopoly board, and it got four sides to it, and each side got a different value. So I started off, I got Baltic Avenue and Mediterranean Place. I ain't mad. But now I got hotels on them. You feel me? Because I got a restaurant, I got the other business. So now I'm just, when I roll the dice, I'm not rolling the dice to pay somebody every time. I got things that are bringing me in revenue. But if you don't own nothing on the Monopoly board, you're just rolling the dice and flipping cards over and going to jail and paying fines everywhere you go, because everybody else out there owning the stuff, being industrious. So you don't got to own every lot on the color scheme. You just need to own one so you have a vested interest on that block, and you can negotiate with other people so you and them could both pass free, and then you go charge everybody else who ain't playing the game right. So that's how this goes. So that's what you need to do. You need to learn how to play Monopoly. Learn how to play Monopoly and get you a piece of on this Monopoly board, and start being industrious and helping out yourself and kind. Listen, I thank y'all for tapping in to the tapping in to the Morning Drip with Suleiman Blay on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget Queen Kitty, Miss Tay Baby on here too. And tap into queenkitty.net, get your feminine hygiene product. They got some good products on there, some good tightening gels, men. Get your women some of them packages. Check it out, queenkitty.net. Go to Queen Kitty at Instagram. And don't forget us at legalempowermentgroup101.com. That's our website. And almoreconsultationllc.com. That's Almore, A-L-M-O-O-R, consultationllc.com. You can find different things about what we're doing and credit repair, business formation, different degrees. We're helping out with prison litigation, all kinds of stuff. So just get with us. We thank y'all for coming. Be a blessing. Life is good. We thank y'all. Peace and love.